Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate here on this Monday. Clay Baker here with you with Doug Douglas from Comp 92.3, the Rock Station, and LV Sports Network. He does it all here, and he's here with us today. 702-365-9200 is the number. You could reach us here on both the text line and the phones. The text is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. We'll talk to T.C. Martin, voice of the Las Vegas Aces, at 8 o'clock. Aces with a huge game this week against the Fever, coming into town to T-Mobile Arena. That's at 8. 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Jesse Merrick from News 3 here on Raider Nation Radio. And we'll also have comedian and activist Shannon Elizabeth will stop by and talk with us about a poker tournament she has this week at Turnberry over at the Sterling Club. You don't want to miss it. The Rhino Rumble. Yeah, beautiful and perfect. Shannon Elizabeth will join us at 9:30 here on Raider Nation Radio. We are, Doug, at July 1st. Just 40 days away from the first preseason game for Raider Nation and for the season to finally kick off. We are just 69 days until Raiders Chargers game one. Can you believe it? We are actually at that precipice of greatness.
It's hard to believe. I will say, first of all, I'm now 97.1 The Point. I've aged out of comp. I used to be on comp for years and years and years, but now
No. So the sands and the hourglass have now trickled down, and to now you are
looking at my gray hair.
Yes, you're in the classic hits, classic rock category.
That's right.
Do you have your own show?
I do. Saturday nights, 9 to 12, I do the hair show, and then I'm also on Sundays. I'm just part time over there. Sundays, I lead into Alice Cooper, Alice's Attic, from 4 to 7. So fun times over there.
Yeah, Doug Douglas from The Point.
There you go. But I will say it is amazing because the NFL, since I have the gray hair to prove it, I'm old enough, you know, it has become now a 12-month season, basically, with all the stuff. I mean, you know, the draft is now a big deal. Free agency signing. This, we're kind of in that little bit of a lull now before they open up training camp and things like that. But it is just amazing that all of a sudden, when I saw that, because you said 40 days, I'm like, oh, that can't be right. But you're right. It's July 1st, and my gosh, in August, it'll all start. They'll be opening up in Minnesota on the road. Minnesota, oh, yes. Don't you know? And I've got to admit, every year I'm thinking, I don't want to get excited about it, whatever sport it is.
Yeah.
I am. I'm amped. I can hardly wait to be back at Allegiant.
Can't wait either.
Football.
Yeah, I mean, July 1st. You hardly think, because in 40 days from now, it's still just going to look like July 1st outside.
Right, it's going to be hotter than heck.
It's going to feel like July 1st. It's just hot, smoldering hot summer. So the rest of the world understands, like, oh, yeah, football is right around the corner here. 40 days, that's all it is until the first preseason game. And then I think all of us realize that once you get into that preseason game, it just, this big sucking sound starts to happen. You get drawn into the season, and it just, like, time starts to just evaporate in front of your eyes. And here we are. We're at that spot where we're just before the evaporation to start.
Well, and it's, you know, then all of a sudden you're looking at, I don't know if you play any fantasy football. You're looking at your fantasy football drafts.
Look at me. I'm fantasy everything.
Life's a fantasy.
Yeah, my whole life's a fantasy. I'm middle-aged and 50. You know, that's all I can do is dream.
That's right, yeah. So, right, dream on somebody else's sweat and toil.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
But it's amazing because, I don't know, do you remember Travis, who used to work here years ago?
Big Trav?
Yeah, and yes. Adrian.
Yes.
They're still in the same fantasy football league. The reason why, I know nobody on the radio knows who I'm talking about, but the point that I'm trying to make is, all of a sudden, relationships that, you know, you've had for decades that, you know, during the offseason, you're like, wait, I never talked to them. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're back emailing, oh, when's the draft? Oh, can we do this? And all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of neat. One now lives in Maine, one lives in Minnesota, and yet, you know, we're tied together by football. Really something that brings us together.
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah, my friends, we are still in our same fantasy baseball league in its 30th year. And we try to get together, you know, instead of doing it online, we actually try to do the draft together, which is just as difficult to go and try to explain to your wife, hey, the guys are coming to Vegas. So it's just a simple 3-4 day little trip, nothing to worry about here. But luckily, since we've been doing it for 30 years, anyone that you've met and has been a spouse already understands, like, all right, this is part of the relationship, and they're going to have a separate vacation.
I will say that is one thing I miss about, you know, technology is great, and the way that you can do it, it's so easy now. But, you know, I'm sure you also been
online draft. Does it get any better than that?
Yeah. does it, but in a way, remember the times when you would go to somebody's, you know, den or something? It was usually one of the fathers, because we were younger at the time, den, and then you'd be something. And there'd inevitably be the person that, let's say, you know, I'll throw out Bo Jackson, let's say. Bo Jackson was drafted, and then all of a sudden, you know, like five picks later, you know, somebody who's kind of maybe drinking a little too much, they go, you know what? I'll take Bo Jackson. And then you'd be like, no, I've already been taken. And then next year you'd have to make a penalty and say, okay, if you call out somebody who's done that, you lose that pick. You got to move down, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, $100 fine has also been brought up a few times before. Like, it's, people get irritated. They get
right. Like, you're like, by the fifth time, pay attention. Write down who's going on. We got a board up there. It's all up there. And then the other thing is,
it's
going
to be a long draft.
Monday or Tuesday, you know, you'd be, it was, for us, it was the USA Today. I mean, that was whatever their stats said. So, you know, your stuff wasn't just automatically updated as the game's going on. It's all of a sudden you're going, wow, that player's having a good day. And then you'd wait, and that Monday morning, you know, because I know there's Monday Night Football, but that's when you could start scoring officially because you would be doing that. And, you know, that, I must admit, I kind of miss that too, though.
There was an anticipation of like, all right, I got to do whatever I can, because the local paper is good, but it's not going to have it as, you know, perfectly accurate and set up the way the USA Today stats will be. So that Monday morning, USA Today, you scrape and scrap all over town to find it. And then sometimes you would see, like, oh, there are no more USA Today. So you got to go to a spot where, like, somebody may have picked apart the USA Today.
Right.
Like,
just taking the weather.
Right, at a gas station or a Denny's or something. You start, like, you know, that's when you know you're really fiending for sports information, is when you start going out and trying to, like, grab any USA Today you can on a Monday. In baseball terms, Tuesday would be the American League roundup on the summer, and then Wednesday would be the National League roundup, and that was your host of information. Then you'd have to wait a whole nother week.
Well, and the terrible thing about it was, depending on your league and everything like that, we made it so it was whatever the USA Today put. So if all of a sudden you're watching, you know, whatever show on Sunday night, and they say, blah, 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 had, you know, 301 yards, and you're like, yes, I get the bonus, I get all that stuff. But then the USA Today, because stats got adjusted, all of a sudden was 299. So you're thinking, oh, my God, I get the five-point bonus. You know, you're losing out on like 6 points or something, or however you scored it. So it was a different time there, Raider fans.
It was a standard, though. If you were living in Vegas and you had, like, prop bets, you could always go by the USA Today, because this is NFL.com. You know, this is the official NFL stat keeper, and you could take this to the book. This is gold, baby. This is gold. I need to get my, you know, James Stewart over 76 yards rushing, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, and now it's all just like, now you can even know how fast somebody ran in the end zone, basically. Oh, they ran in at, you know, 21 and a half miles an hour, whatever. It's just like, oh, my gosh. Now we are inundated with stats. So it's, you know, now's great, too.
That was great, yes.
And that's why, and I know we're going to get into this in a little bit later, but that's, you know, I, just for people who, once again, I mean, I have been to many Raider games. I mean, my cousin was a season ticket holder for years and years, so I was right behind the black hole. We weren't in the black hole. We were just one section behind the black hole. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing. I loved going to games up in Oakland because there was definitely a different feel, different smell, you know, the Bay Area and everything like that. But then, yeah, now that I'm older, I also don't mind the comforts of Allegiant Stadium either. You know, it's
I'm covered.
Yes, exactly.
I'm protected. Oh,
it's not pouring down rain. I still remember a Sunday night game there. I think they were playing Kansas City years and years ago. I mean, we were drenched.
Yes.
Couldn't find any parking. We parked at a gas station like miles away one time and had to walk through the pouring rain. Looking back on it, it was a great time. But during the time, you're like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, that you didn't care about it. Like, there was no alternative. Like, this is what you want.
That's what you do.
And for, to pull back the curtain even further, when I started doing shows here in 2003, Doug was pretty much the only Raider fan that was in the building. There was, you know,
Craig Williams
was a Raiders fan.
Craig and I.
But I had more interaction with Doug. And so Doug would be the one and only Raider fan, like, constantly wearing the Raiders gear, the silver and black. This was, like, you know, eons, you would think, before any sort of NFL team would come to Las Vegas, number one. But number two would be the Raiders. So when Doug speaks Raiders, this is from the heart. This is from he's an existentialist. He has experienced it all on the road.
Years of tailgating.
At the Coliseum, wherever he has been there. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes here, because we'll start asking you questions about, when you think about how many days are until the season, you start dreaming about your favorite games. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But over the weekend, it's good to see that Max Crosby continues to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you ever question it? You know, but the Sack Summit with Von Miller and Cam Hayward and now Max Crosby as a part of it was here in Las Vegas over the weekend. And it's just awesome when you see how Max has taken this leadership role, not only on the team, but in the NFL, to kind of be like one of the elite players that he is, but taking on the Sack Summit and being like the vocal leader, not just somebody that's here to welcome and, you know, sign autographs. You just see like some of the footage that took place over at UNLV's practice fields of what Max is doing as far as not only kind of like sharing the information that he has learned, but he's actually becoming a coach, like a teacher now. He's now taking a new role like that's maybe that it's always been there, but seeing like all the other NFL greats that are there watching, learning from Max, I think is exceptional. Here's some pieces of audio. This is from Paul Gutierrez.
When you're coming back across the road, you gotta feel like water. Like that's what Vaughn talks about, having that angle. So when he's coming back, you don't want to be at the top of the rush and be like, oh shit, I gotta be in and lose ground. Uh-uh. You want to be, it should be all poetry in motion. Once he hits that motherfucker, I'm coming underneath, and if he comes, you gotta be square so you can continue to get bored. You know what I mean?
That's Max Crosby with Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp was also hanging out there, not in the jet plane that was flying
right,
already.
Exactly. But you can tell it was at the UNLV practice fields right by the airport.
Right by the airport. In fact, Doug has been a longtime voice of UNLV baseball, which is also in that route of the airport. And it's just like, all right, 3-2 call, 3-2 pound on Kyle Isbell, the set and the pitch. And then...
just like, and then the shadow would cross over the field. Felt like the old where the Mets used to play. Remember that would happen all the time.
Oh
too.
Yes, yeah, yeah. LaGuardia was just like like a stone's throw away. Next thing you know, you're like Ralph Kiner is like covering his ears, thinking that he's getting like a war trauma. He's back in the Battle of the Bulge.
But it is great to see. I mean, what an upgrade at UNLV their facilities for football.
Yeah,
and it is just amazing that. You know, that Max is doing this and that he's out there. And, you know, it wouldn't be Max talking. Of course, there he wasn't at a press conference. But you got to be ready with the bleep button on Max.
Better be. Yeah, you can't take it for granted that this is just going to be like.
Raw footage of Max. You got to go through that.
Like some athletes, if they see the camera, they're going to kind of like hyper-correct their speech. Not Max. Max does not even care. Like, this is how I talk. This is how I'm going to talk. But I think this is good that. You know, not only was Max there, but Malcolm Kuntz was also part of this. Tyree Wilson, David Agoa, Jenkins was out there too. Big John Jenkins, Janarius Robinson. The point is that the entire Raiders defensive line, more or less, was out there at the camp, not only just to support Max, but to learn, but because they love being around each other. Are you starting to get the sense that this defensive line is now become like the crown jewel of where the Raiders are at right now? And I think it's the continuity and the friendships that they have has really bonded this position group together that might be the best in the league.
You can't discount team chemistry.
Yeah.
And while there have been many teams that absolutely hated each other,
sure.
There's something about it. It does seem like if you can get a group, you know, and it's not, you know, because football is more group-oriented than almost any other sport,
it is.
For crying out loud.
Yeah.
But if you can get a group that is truly on the same page, enjoy each other, and also trust each other on and off the field, that means so much to a team. And that's, you know, that's one of the things why the 40-day countdown is, look at me, I'm twitching all over the place. I got the nervous twitches.
I'm starting to get the meat sweats.
That's right.
Just thinking about what's going to be on our plate when we come September. But there's a growing feeling that even last week when Pro Football Focus had their defensive line rankings and they kind of rated the Raiders at ninth, okay? That's not too bad, and I'm thinking about how some of the teams ahead of them, I still feel like the Raiders could leapfrog that and be in the top five, perhaps even one of the best defensive lines in the league. And it's not just about pass rush, because when they acquire Christian Wilkins, that guy is an absolute run stopper, something that was kind of a detriment to the Raiders' defensive line. As good as they were last year, they didn't have consistent run-stopping ability. Now they do. What more could you ask for from a defensive line that's getting a little younger and a little bit more explosive?
Well, and that's the thing. If you can have a defensive line that is above average, which I definitely think the Raiders are definitely above average, you know, that just does so much for your cornerbacks, D-backs, the whole, you know, it just, it's that ripple effect, because all of a sudden, you know, D-backs don't have to cover as long. So that makes them better. And that also builds confidence because they can be like, you know what, I can try to pick off something or other. You know, that's why Jack Jones, the amazing game that he had in Kansas City, you know, that's just not a singular thing because of what he was playing. He was playing great. He played at a great high level, I thought, the last part of last year. But, you know, it's just he knew that there was going to be pressure put on the quarterback by the Raiders' defensive line.
The overall sentiment, we see up on the text line, 702-365-9200, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Max is a beast. I love seeing him take this leadership role. Here's another one. This is why you can't find a wide receiver summit. There's too many divas in that position group. there's never been a wide receiver summit. I wonder why that is.
Well, it's not as catchy of a name. Sack Summit's a catchy name. You got to think of something. Yeah. You know, they need to do that. But it does seem like, and that's just the position. You know, a long time ago, Mitch Moss and I used to do the Locos, Las Vegas Locos.
Oh, yes.
The play-by-play in color.
First version of the UFL.
That's right. Chucka-chucka-choo-choo was my wacky call. But the point I'm trying to make is even when you travel, because we traveled with the team, I mean, on the flights, in the buses and everything like that, you could always tell, tell just by positions, you know, and the wide receivers a little bit more aloof, you know, the offensive linemen a little bit more protective, the defensive linemen a little more aggressive on the bus
that.
You know, it's kind of there. So I think that's part of what position you play in football, that it's not the end all be all. But I think that does kind of tend to be, you know, certain characteristics lead somebody to perhaps playing a certain position, whether, you know, of course, the way your body is and the way you work out. But also, I think, you know, it's mentally. And, you know, you've either got more of a protection attitude or you have more of a go get them attitude or something like that.
I think it's about sharing information, too. Most wide receivers, they don't share a whole lot of information.
Close to the best.
Yeah, because they themselves are, you know, a very different kind of like a player like Davante Adams does seem to share a lot of information with younger players about, you know, hey, watch me, what I'm trying to do here, especially against the cornerbacks he's going to go against in practice. You know, learning about how to like use your eyes to draw guys off, also using the hands and when to bring them up right at the very last second to catch a ball. But most wide receivers, they always feel a little insecure about their position and standing on the team, probably because they always know that there's a million other receivers in the draft each year that could take their job.
Well, and their stats aren't as dependent upon other wide receivers. In fact, the other wide receivers, the better they are, the primary wide receiver stats have a likelihood of going down. While on the defensive line,
yes, you're right,
the better, you know, one defensive line and the better they work together, maybe both of their sack totals will go up, or, you know, tackles for losses or whatever. So, you know, there's more of a team thing there, while a wide receiver's kind of out on that island.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, you know, I could help these other people. But then again, maybe I'm not going to get 20 touchdowns. Maybe that'll cut down into 14 or, you know, who knows, whatever, or yards.
That is such a good point. Yeah, because there is you're an independent contractor in the truest sense of the word.
Exactly.
As a wide receiver.
Well said.
But you're in a trench, you're in a group, you are like on an assembly line. When you're on a defensive line, everybody depends on each other. It's an interesting thought. We'll get into this more. Maybe we'll coin it. Maybe the receiver rumble.
There you go.
But it's getting too close to the Rhino Rumble
that
Shannon Elizabeth will be doing this week over at Turnberry, the Sterling Club over at Turnberry Estates, Turnberry Place, July 3rd. We'll put it up there up on the website. You can check it out at lvsportsnetwork.com. In fact, check all our stuff out, all our podcast page, and our streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com. As we were alluding to it when we first talked about how close we are to the season beginning, as well as the preseason, Duckett brought it up. You know, like, what is your favorite Raiders game? What was your favorite Raiders game that you saw live from tailgate to final score, whether it was a home game or on the road? What was that? We'll talk about that on the other side at 702-365-9200. We want to hear from you today. 702-365-9200. It's Doug Douglas, Clay Baker on your Monday.
A touchdown! Back-to-back plays for the defense with touchdowns. And the Raiders defense has completely flipped this game in Kansas City.
Oh, we are back here on Raider Nation Radio. Doesn't that sound good? Raiders Radio Network with Jason Horowitz and Big Link, Lincoln Kennedy. And it's right here on the morning tailgate. Doug Douglas, Clay Baker, and you here in our Las Vegas studios, 702-365-9200. It's right around the corner. 40 days until preseason game one, Raiders-Vikings. 69 days until Raiders-Chargers week one of the regular season. You can smell it. It is not far away. That makes us, you know, beg the question about what was your favorite game that you saw live. You know, from tailgate to the final score. Give us your thoughts. 702-365-9200 on the text line from Dollar Loan Center, as well as up on the phone. 702-365-9200. Because, you know, we were talking about, like, over the years, I have seen you come back from very strenuous Raiders games over the years where it was like, oh, man. I envied you because you would go on the road to even see them at road games.
With Steph McKenzie from 97.1 The Point. There's another Raider fan.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a tattoo that most people can't see.
That's
but on a tailgate, if she drinks enough, you'll see it.
I mean, we're at Seattle. She'll show you more than you come bargain for because she gets involved in the game more than you realize.
She and I have gone on with other people, not just she and I. Seattle, New Orleans, Nashville, just to name a few. She started a little bit later. I went on some earlier ones without her. And just so everybody knows, I mean, you know, Vinny covers the team, Q covers the team, you cover the team, JT covers the team. I, you know, I'm a fill-in when five other fill-ins can't fill.
Yes.
I'm a Raider fan. I mean, I'm not trying to be. I don't go to press conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't do that because, you know, I'm a fan. So if all of a sudden you're saying, well, you're not very, objective. No, I'm not. I'm a Raiders fan, so that's where I come from, and that's why I'm not on the air just talking every day or down there, because it's amazing. Like, you played that Jack Jones one. I was at the Raiders gala, luckily enough, and Jack Jones came walking by. We talked for a little bit. I got a picture with him. I mean, it was a blast.
Well, how cool is that, right?
Yeah.
But for you, like, you have, like, a favorite. Like, there was a time where you're like, this was the best trip. This was the best game.
Oh, so we're talking away or home?
Or either one. Like, this was either the best trip to the home game, or this was absolutely worth it, going to travel to New Orleans and watch the Raiders-Saints.
I've got two ready to go.
All right. Two in the chamber.
I've got one at home and one on that stand out. You have to remember, unfortunately, and this is, you know, I was younger, the way my cousin tailgated. I mean, we would start tailgating at 6 in the morning. We would go to a bar. I believe it was called The Wash, nowhere, not really near the Coliseum. Then we'd go to the DMV because you'd have to get you couldn't quite line up. So you'd park at the DMV that was pretty close. Then we get in line to get the perfect spot, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, perfect.
So sometimes my memories start to get a little fadey on certain things. But I will say this, and I think a lot of Raider fans out there who were at this would also say this. So my favorite home one will be, I mean, it's not a huge surprise, the 2002 AFC Championship. That, of course, is when they defeated the Titans. Because I was there the year before when they lost to, in fact, where I was sitting, that was pretty close to where Siragusa squashed Gannon. So, you know, the AFC Championship, that had to be one of the best ones. Started early, and it all culminated. That was the Metallica one, and I was working for Comp at the time.
Okay.
And we were in the parking lot, and all of a sudden, you know, I was meandering around, because that's the great thing. The Raiders, if you're in Raider gear at a Raider parking tailgate, you are family. And we were walking around, and somebody was saying, Metallica's playing. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was on the other side. So I start, I'd say running, but you see me. I'm not a good runner. I start walking very fastly. And when I got to finally, they just played their last note, and they were off.
Beep.
So I saw.
Thank you, Oakland.
That's right. So, by the way, did I see that? No. Was I at that game? Yes. Was I tailgating at the time? Yes. Just on the other side of the Coliseum. So by the time I got over there, it was over.
Oh, man. See, and that's a good thing about, like, that moment there was kind of like Metallica just hiding in a beer truck, right? You know, and all of a sudden,
that's what I heard. Yeah,
and all of a sudden, like the flaps open up on the truck, and there they are, ready to play, ready to go. And I think it was also inspired that Raiderhead was also doing some like tailgating concerts, and it had everyone involved. And next thing you know, Metallica has to kind of bite off a piece of that too. And that, I guess, that's what I love, and I love those kind of experiences because you can't find that anywhere else. You know, the Raiders tailgates are so different.
Yeah,
what you will find with other team, the way other teams kind of handle their tailgates, it's not the same. Not the way the Raider Nation does it.
Well, and I will say, and I said this last time I was on here, and I need to change that this year. I've never really tailgated at Allegiant. I still haven't. I mean, I just, mm-hmm. I've gone to games at Allegiant.
Yes.
In fact, Q would call me the lucky charm because there was a time where, for a long time, I think I was like undefeated at the games because I do not go to every game.
Oh, I thought that's because you were magically delicious.
Maybe that's it.
Right.
But, you know, I know last time I was on here, people were, Doug, you got to try this lot. You got to try that lot because, you know, it's something. And that's also, you know, memories. My cousin and his friend. His friend's no longer with us. My cousin's very older. He's my older cousin. So, you know, part of that is just the memories of, you know, they set it all up and it was just, you know, it was just amazing. And the people up there. So I need to find some people. But, you know, the great thing about it is, Raider fans, you walk in with the Raider stuff, you're usually eating and drinking for free if you're
you see that. I tend to notice that a lot. And that's where we're coming from here. Like, what is your favorite memory from all of these games? The tailgate, the stuff that like keeps us going. You know, it's those kind of memories that just kind of helps bond us even further with this team. 702-365-9200. Let's get out to the base of Mount Hood out in Oregon with Raider Mike. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Mr. Baker.
Hello. Say hello to Doug Douglas.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mike.
Your name. But I can tell you're pure silver and black. You feel right. Well done. You made it through the rain. Want to break out some Manilow for you, almost. But, yeah, I'm feeling this team. And the rest of the country is not, and I love that. It's the same thing in 1980. Everyone thought we were going to be 4-12 or 4-, I can't remember what the
yep,
number was back
4-12.
Then. But we start out 2-3. Pastorini gets snapped, and Plunkett rolls in and rolls off 2 Super Bowls. So a lot of great memories, but the one that brings it out the most, because I was the only kid with a Raider jacket up here in Vancouver, Washington, right across the bridge from Portland. Everyone else had Steelers, Vikings, Cowboys.
Right.
That's all that was here. I'm like, you guys are bandwagoners. None of you were even near that, those cities. None of you. You suck. I have no respect for you. And then 19, because, you know, the Steelers kept beating us. Miami kept beating us. But in 76, we finally broke through. And boy, did we ever. When Tatum lambasted, I'm just blew up Sammy White and then stood over him.
Yeah!
And pointed his fingers down at him and then did the, like, safe sign at home. Like, you're wiped out. You're done. Bye, Vikings. Bud Grant, you are 0-4 for the rest of your life. Enjoy the record. Oh, then the Bills come along. Worst game ever. I go AWOL right before Desert Storm.
Oh, no.
Because, no, they have us in Fort Lewis. You can't go nowhere, Sergeant Wade. We're about to leave. I go, well, we're about to play the Bills to go to the Super Bowl.
You risk going AWOL? You risk going into the brig?
My dad worked at Fort Lewis.
I didn't care. I did not care. 51-3. Private Wig. Oh, you, Sergeant Wig, you are now Private Wig again. You just got that chevron.
They took your stripes.
I don't care, Charge. It was safety championship. Well, you're not going to the brig. We're going to war. Suit up. You're now an E1. Later, guys. Anyway, those are some great memories.
Beautiful.
Keep up the great work. Run!
Raider Mike, I spent many a time in Vancouver. You'd say Vancouver, and everybody would think it's Vancouver up in Canada. Vancouver, Washington, yep, just a short little drive over to Portland. And Fort Lewis, my gosh, my dad worked there. Hopefully he didn't get you in trouble there, Raider Mike.
Oh, good stuff. Raider Mike risking court-martials to go to Raiders Bills.
That's it. What did you risk the most?
Right. Yeah.
To go to a game.
What did you risk the most to go to a game? Because that actually adds to it. What is my favorite memory? Everything I risked.
How about this? I think I've told this story before, but like I said, it was Section 103 that we sat in, and one time somebody in a Bronco jersey sat right next to me. Now, I had on Raider stuff and everything like that, and this guy was getting pelted with stuff, and I remember I had been drinking a lot, and I knew those people. You know, when you get in the section, you know the people.
Sure.
Also, I turned around, and I do not cuss often, but I think I said something. I said, you guys get some better bleep. I'll do Max Crosby. Bleep, aim. You're hitting me. Yeah. I know you. I'm here all the time.
I'm taking shrapnel here.
That's right. Friendly fire. Come on.
I love it. Keep them coming on the text line. Got some great thoughts here from 702-365-9200. We read them next. But before we do, we hook you up with the summer of fun. Oh, that's right. New week, new vacation. It's all brought to you by Planet Nissan and the summer of fun. Get a load of this. This week, by sending in the word today, resort, to 702-365-9200, you qualify for 3 nights in Las Vegas. You get a Sphere show and or September super concert and or boxing match, hotel spending cash. Oh, you're on the high roller observation wheel. You got a pair of tickets to see Alejandro Fernandez, a pair of tickets to a Cirque du Soleil show, $1,000 spending cash.
And nothing like a great staycation.
Hey, think about that. You get hooked up. 702-365-920. Send the word resort into 702-365-9200. You qualify for that grand prize. If you win, you can't go. They still get you hooked up with some cash, $3,000 spending money. It's all for you on Raider Nation Radio. 702-365-9200. It's the summer of fun. Text the word resort now. 702-365-9200.
A little 47-yarder.
Here on Raider Nation Radio, Raiders Radio Network with that one. The final call from the regular season as Carlson puts the Raiders into the playoffs in that final last game of the year against the Chargers. I loved that game. That whole day was a special one. I loved how that all played out with the we're talking about like our favorite Raider games that you've been to, and that one was, you could just feel the drama building all week long, and in that Sunday, everything had to kind of turn out right for the Raiders even to be eligible for a win to get kicked into the playoffs. A tie would have brought both the Chargers and the Raiders into the playoffs at the same time and eliminated the Steelers. But that was just something dramatic about the final game of the year, the final play of the regular season, put you into the postseason. I'll never forget that. That was a great game.
That was. I was not at that game. I was at last year's Charger game here at home. Didn't have the same meeting, really? but
the way they chanted AP, well, AP at the end of the game, that was crazy.
And the amount of points that they scored was pretty crazy, too.
Yeah, is that right? Did that
was
help
the
you?
Record. That was the record, all-time single-game record for the Raiders scoring. So, yeah, that was fun. And I heard people say, oh, they should have lost that game. No, they shouldn't have. You know, old draft picks, blah, blah, blah. I hear these people sometimes say, I realize, but you know what? First of all, I know a Raider fan who passed away since then. Okay. You know what? That Raider fan had a great memory of at least them putting a huge number up against the Chargers. Yeah, you don't defer. You win. If there's a game you can win, you win that game.
You win that game.
My motto.
You see like a vulnerable opponent, you go after them.
That's right.
You know, you don't wait around and try to contemplate the what ifs of what should we get in the draft and the seeding. That doesn't make any
because difference. We've seen teams, Raiders, any team, we've seen them, you know, whiff on draft picks that everybody thought was good, or unfortunately, you see, you know, players that injury. So you play for the day, you play for the win.
Ah, and that's what we're asking because we're 69 days away from week one. All right, 40 days away from the first preseason game for the Raiders and Vikings. What is your favorite memory from your favorite game that you either went to at home or you went to on the road? And as Raider Mike had brought up, how much did you risk for a single Raiders game?
Hopefully not too many people out there risking court martials.
Right. 702-365-9200. Roll off Raider. The 925 says, my favorite Raiders game, I was at the 2000 divisional playoff game against the Dolphins. First playoff game in Oakland in 20 years. So I was 11 years old and already loved the Raiders. But when Torrey James had his pick six, the sound of the Oakland Coliseum and the atmosphere, I was hooked. Me and my dad had a blast, and I will still always think of that game, and I wish my kids will experience that kind of Raider football soon. Thank you, Roll Off Raider. That's an excellent
memory. I was at that
game.
That was a good one. Like I said, that might have been the top one, but the AFC Championship game win over the Titans did, especially because of the year before. Can I give my away one really quick?
Sure, absolutely.
Because we used to go on away trips all the time, and now this has to do with not only the result, but also because you did say from tailgate to the end of the game.
Absolutely. The entire experience.
And so the entire experience, I mean, I'd have to say, and I don't remember dates very well, so I did the research just to make sure. It was November 19th, 2000. They were at New Orleans. Raiders victorious, 31-22. Gannon had a couple TDs. Tim Brown caught one. That was the game that the Raiders knocked out Aaron Brooks. And
oh,
it was so weird.
I remember that. That's right.
Because
yeah.
My cousin's friend had bought a voodoo doll, and he was doing voodoo. And people in the stands were like, that's very powerful stuff. And then Brooks went down. They were like, oh, my God, you can't do that. But the way the Saints, we stayed at a hotel called the Maison Dupuis over towards Bourbon Street. That's a little bit of walk to the dome. But the walk over there, we, of course, were in full Raiders regalia. Those Saints fans were so nice. I mean, the way they were, we would stop. They'd offer us food, they had drinks and everything. They were cool. And, you know, that made a cool thing. And I will say this. My cousin, he threw tailgates for years up in Oakland, and it didn't matter. He was, of course, very nice to Raider fans, of course. But if there was some opposing fan there, he'd invite him in for a drink. You know, I mean, that's, you know, it's a game, your rivals. But, you know, let's not. Now, if they become obnoxious, that's different. But if they're cool, you know, they're cool. And those Saints fans treated us like, you know, royalty. And I'll always remember that and have a soft spot. In fact, when they played the Saints a couple years later, that's when Steph then went with us from 97-1 The Point. We went back again, and somehow I remember less of that trip, so I think I maybe was enjoying right. New Orleans a little bit more.
It's because Steph brought her own voodoo dolls, and she was enacting her own social justice out there with pins and needles, and, you know, that's the best part about it, especially when you have, like, you know, Saints fans, they wear the war paint too, you know what I mean? So they understand wearing the war paint and getting dressed and getting in the right attitude for a game. You know, and it's what sets you apart, and that's going to be a hell of a matchup when the Raiders go back down to New Orleans to face the Saints, and who knows what kind of Saints team that'll be by the end of the year, you know, because that
seems
like
a lot of question marks there.
A lot of question marks on that team. In fact, you know, it seems like, you know, Carr and everyone else is sort of like playing for their job for next year. You know, for this year, everything, there's a lot of pressure on this team to do better. And I don't know if it's going to happen because the way things are lining up, there's, you know, Tampa Bay is going to have something to say about that.
I will say that the way when you go travel, and like I said, you know, the Saints fans wanted to win and everything, but it's hard for me to dislike the Saints team now because of just having gone to the Saints games a few times now, two times. Maybe I'll go to this third one here coming up. I'll make it the trifecta of fun. But, you know, it's how a fan base treats you and everything. And if they treat you well as a visiting fan, I think you don't root as hard. Of course, when they play the Raiders, I'll root against them. But, you know, in that division, I've always like, oh, come on, Saints, win that division.
Yeah, right.
Because I hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hate them.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with you right now. Yeah, we'll never forgive you, Tampa Bay, 2003. We'll never do it. But it's like you have a good favorite, like, NFC team. Yeah, the Saints are out there for sure, you know, because they pose no threat, you know.
Right.
In the overall, they're just having a good time. But, yeah, that Dolphins game that Roloff Raider brought up, do you think about a playoff game, a shutout, 27-0. And I think Miami only had like 45 rushing yards, something like that. Like, it was like a really paltry sum. And you think about how good the Raiders' defense is now. Well, that was a good defense back then. You know, they were stopping teams. And, you know, obviously you could stop Jay Fiedler. That's not a whole lot. But, hey, once you're in the playoffs, if you can do a 27-0 shutout, good things are going to happen. And it started to really roll for the Raiders at that point.
What made that a little extra sweet was there are people that girlfriends at the time and family members that were Dolphin fans.
Oh, really?
So that made it extra sweet. Oh, that there were actually family members that were Dolphin fans. You're like, all right, take your Dolphin. You're out. You're out.
My former family, you know. It's been a long, quiet 20 years since then, but that's fine.
That's a good point, yes.
Raider Homer bringing in the fact that, yes, Metallica did steal that idea from Raiderhead. And then they cried when people started listening to their music online. Good call, Homer. I like that. I forgot all about the whole Napster. That's when the controversy began.
Lars. Well, you know, hey, it's, I don't know. It's tough. It's, musicians deserve to get paid. But then again, you know, there are some musicians. I think Dave Grohl said, yeah, it's hard to get too upset when, you know, some of these musicians there have gold-plated driveways.
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, when you're wearing like a, you're sleeping in silk sheets and stuff like that, it's hard to feel like you're mean streets.
That's
days.
Right.
They kind of get glazed over.
How dare somebody's listening to my song for free?
702-365-9200 is the number here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk about your favorite Raiders games that you saw live. What was your favorite experience from that here on Raider Nation Radio? We'll get to more of that on the other side. But over the weekend, we saw how some interesting stories came in about the Raiders, and one of them was how they've increased their revenues and the team valuations, which NFL team takes home the most revenue. And this was kind of alarming, but I think we all kind of figure out, all right, when it comes to that kind of money, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys usually lead the way because Jones himself owns so much of the property and so many of the streams of revenue where they play in Jerry's world, as well as all the developments around that. It all goes to him. They lead the way about $1.14 billion. The Raiders, though, are number two, $729 million. Those were the 2022-23 revenues brought in. And you think about where this franchise was in Oakland and trying to keep up with everyone else in the league, as the NFL now is grossing over $20 billion annually. They want to get to 25. They're going to get there. But think about how franchises like the Raiders are now helping them get to that spot, too. It's incredible what the turnaround has been as far as the valuation for the Raiders and the kind of money that they're seeing now that they've never seen before. And it's because of the move to Las Vegas and how the NFL is very, very desirous to see the Raiders do well.
Yeah, especially because for years, the NFL and Las Vegas, I know because I went to 10 Super Bowl presser weeks before in a row, and we were pariahs. I mean, we were just absolute. We would not get interviews. We were not allowed to speak during certain. We would never get the mic to like ask the commissioner questions. And now it's just like, quite the opposite.
Hey, there's our Vegas buddies.
Yeah. Hey, there they are. Yeah. The turnaround is just absolutely amazing. But, you know, that's when I think we all know money talks. And they saw a way to capitalize on it. And boy, are they, especially with that valuation and those revenues, just absolutely incredible.
Blows my
mind.
It's awesome. We got more stuff on the other side, as well as T.C. Martin will join us in about 5 minutes. He's the play-by-play voice with Las Vegas Aces. We'll talk to him about how big of a week it is here in Vegas for the champions, the Aces, hosting the Fever. That's next here on Raider Nation.